Happy Sabbath. Feliz Sábado. Feliz Navidad. That's Merry Christmas. So you have two now. Feliz Sábado, Feliz Navidad. I don't know why I'm shaking, but I'm nervous today. I want to say thank you so much for coming last night and being here with us. I think the movie was really have a powerful message, and I hope that we can spread that message with our friends and families and neighbors. And thank you for the cookies. There is more cookies, and we're going to have more cookies after the service today. So please feel come down and grab some cookies for you and the neighbors and whoever you want to take cookies to. We have plenty, and we also have more hot drinks. So thank you so much again for last night. I have other announcements. Let's see. Jomar, my technical. I want to change it to up there, but it looked like I had to drag it. I don't want it to drag it. I just want to see if I can find function. Is the function in here? That's okay. I'll try it. That's fine. Thank you, baby.
Oh, wait, no. Oh, yeah, you're probably.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you so much. Okay, so a couple of announcements, and I know they probably have been announced already. But we have this revival. Mini week, I guess, is from January 12th to January 14th. It's coming soon by Dr. Eric Walsh. And it's about revival, and I hope you can make plans to be here with us. Thursday and Friday will be at 7 p.m., and then Saturday he will speak at 11 a.m., and then again at 4 p.m. He's coming from far, far away, and I hope that you guys can invite some friends and neighbors and coworkers to be here with us that weekend. His wife, Jackie, a good friend, is coming too. She have a wonderful voice. And she will be singing too, so we're gonna enjoy that activity. Okay. Let's see. This is hard. Enter. Okay. Today's sermon is gonna be about why Mary, and this is a sermon that really touched me deeply as a mother. And we're going to see a little bit of the story of Mary and why she was chosen. Thank you so much for bringing the stockings. If you forget, you still have time. You can either, I'm going to leave the boxes out there so onto Monday. So you're more than welcome and come and bring them throughout the weekend. Or you can contact me and we can meet somewhere. Or you can take it yourself on Monday to the Boys and Girls Club. Monday is the due day. And thank you so much for participating on this activity. That's done with that. Let's see if I can close it here. Okay, perfect. And then, let's see what else. Next Sabbath, the 24th, my husband will be speaking. Unfortunately, he's still sick. He thought he was going to be able to be at the church that he was supposed to be today, which is Chilean, but he's still not able to feel good. So, but next weekend, he will be here preaching, and I believe the plan is that the Spanish church will be here with us too, and there will be some participation of them too with the music program or the participation program that day. So, also, make plans to be here. I don't know if you guys noticed, but Jomar did. It was very slippery out there, our parking lot. And Jomar kind of like make his way down the hill when he stepped out of the car. And I know Roger, I think he also felt and stuff like that. So just be careful when you get out later today. Anyways, those are my announcements. Oh, I don't like this, that I have to be dragging stuff, but sorry. Okay, give me a second to put this. Okay. I want to start with this video. Let's see if it played. Do we have the volume for the laptop?
I'm sure he must have been surprised at where this road.
Playing is not from my computer. I think it's different. Okay, I took out the PowerPoint just to make sure it was not me. Okay. Sorry. Let me just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and mercy. Thank you for a wonderful week, for a wonderful Sabbath. Thank you for loving us so much and for Jesus. God, we ask you that as we go through this sermon today, that you speak to our hearts and that we can listen to the message and we can apply in our life. Bless each of the person that are here, the ones that are sick at home. And thank you for your love and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now the volume.
Where this road had taken him, 'cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed.
I can play it just from the, sorry. I think it's still gonna, even if I show it up there, no matter what, huh?
Do you have music playing on one of your music devices on your computer?
No, the only thing I have open is the PowerPoint. Maybe it's my PowerPoint, but I don't have anything else other than that. Let me take it out here for a second and check. I apologize. Just give me 1 second. Let me test this here. No, it's playing fine in my computer without this. So there might be something open over there with the music or something. Okay.
Thank you.
What a strange way for God to save the world, right? Sometimes there's stuff that, things that come through our life and we ask the same question, why? Why me? Why my son? Why I have to move? Why my job was terminated? Why an accident? Why, right? We ask many, many, many questions like that all the time. In my experience, I have asked that to God many times with situations and experiences that have come through my life. And I probably don't see the answer right away, but when I patiently wait and pray, God give me the answer. And I'm pretty sure for Mary was the same thing, right? Why me? Mary, the mother of Jesus, is known better than any other female character in the Bible. She has been the best known woman in the world since the day of Bethlehem. And after centuries, the statement still stands. Blessed are young Amen women. Every person in the Bible has their story in the Bible, not so that we could learn about them particularly, but to learn from their walk with God. There is much to be learned from Mary. And we're going to learn, three characteristics of godliness illustrated in Mary's life. First of all, Mary teaches us the submission of godliness. In Luke 1:38, we read these words. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. From the very beginning of Mary's relationship with Jesus, it was all about submission. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary with the news that she was to be the human mother of the Messiah, Mary had no warning. She had no preparation. She had no timeline, and she had no precedent. I don't know when things have come to your life if you have been prepared enough to handle that. I have not. There have things that come to my life that I'm not prepared for. Even when you prepare to have kids, you're really not prepared. You can plan all you want, but one thing is to plan when they're not here. One thing is to, you know, when they're here and you have them right in front of you and things just, you know, come up. The entire dialogue between Mary and the angel took place in Mary's home. When the angel intervened in her life, Mary learned she will bear a son and that his name will be Jesus. And she was told that this birth will be unlikely any other child ever born. She was to have a child without having a relationship with a man. He will be a child of the Holy Spirit. See how Mary responded to the news that she was to become the mother of the Messiah. She said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to be according to your word." In other words, "Lord, I don't understand this. I don't comprehend this, but whatever you desire, be it unto me according to your word." I wish my words were like Mary in many of the situations that happened in my life, but my words were like, "What? Are you crazy? I'm not gonna do that. What? Are you crazy? There's no way I can do that. Oh God, not me. I'm sorry, but not me." That was my words. And I have learned, you know, through the years, thanks God that I have been learning, and you know, I'm more submissive now. I said, "Okay, Lord, I don't understand. I really don't understand, but let it be your will," right? Now, Mary must have wondered in her heart, Why have I been favored to be the mother of Jesus? Why me? The reasons she was chosen are not told us in the Word of God. They are known only to God himself. But it is clear from studying her life and the little information that we have that she was not random selection. She was an ordinary, small-town girl, and she will be obedient and courageous, and she was. From her son, we learned that she was a woman of scripture, a woman of faith. She should be a virgin that the glory of God might be miraculously demonstrated. She should be a peasant in keeping with the humble of nature of the Lord's birth. Mary was all these things. She honored and obeyed the will of her father, providing his only son a home from which he could emerge to launch the work that will define of all human history. The child Jesus toddled behind Mary in his infancy, and then in time she walked behind him. In fact, she walked behind him all the way to the cross and all the way to the tomb. Mary teaches us the submission of godliness. There comes a moment when God asks each of us to do something that we should obey. And we face the same dilemma that she did. We will accept or turn from it. When God asks me to do something that might be hard or certainly that I don't understand, my prayer is that I will rise up in obedience with the words of Mary. Be it unto me according to your word. Lord, whatever you want, I am your servant. I will do what you ask me to do. If you have been fighting with something God has been asking you to do, let me ask you to go back and learn the submission of godliness from Mary and let your words be hers. Lord God, let it be to be according to your word and will do what you told me to do. The second thing we learn about Mary is Mary teaches us the surprise of godliness. Mary teaches us not only the submission of godliness, she teaches us the surprise of godliness. I don't know how many of you have been surprised by God, but I have been surprised by God. Very surprised. I don't know how many of you can say that your walk with God has been an adventure. For me, it has been a very, very fun adventure. The adventure of walking with Jesus Christ is the greatest adventure you will ever know on the earth. Heaven will be better, but nothing before that will be. To know that you are related to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that the Creator of the universe has sent his Son to live within your life, that you have a direct communication to Almighty God, and that you can fellowship with him, and that he will direct, guide, strengthen, and be with you. That is truly a great adventure. But it's also full of surprises. The Word of God tells us that when you walk with the Lord, he doesn't always give you information about the distant future, right? It's sort of like a need-to-know basis. Isn't that the way it is? And that was the way it was with Mary. I don't know how many of you have, you know, things in your life, experiences in your life where the information that you receive from God is very, very little. I remember when I had my first son, I had no idea, right? I knew, thanks God to technology, you know, that you have ultrasounds, and I knew that he was coming with some issues, health issues, right? And I knew he was okay in my belly in the meantime, but I remember the words of the doctor when he said, well, you know, we're not sure what's going to happen when he come out, right? And I was preparing myself for that, Because for some reason in my mind, it was like, there's two things that can happen when I give birth to that kid. He will still be alive, but they will have to rush him, you know, because he will come with different issues. I'm thinking that he was not going to be able to breathe, you know, or I don't know, something like that. Or he will come out without life. So I was trying as a mother to prepare for that mentally and emotionally. And I know that I probably have said this before. I don't know what was the future for us. I was not sure what was the future for him. First time having a baby, I had no idea what to do. So I know I remember that I said to the doctor, no matter what happened, I want to see the face of my baby and I want to give him a kiss. And that happened. That happened, and you know, you probably know the rest of the story, but sometimes things come in our life and we don't know really what's going to happen. We really don't know. And throughout that time, I asked God, how I'm going to handle this? What is that you want me to do? You know, it was a struggle, you know, it was a struggle because as a mom, you want, you know, your kid come first, but also your relationship with God was important, and I didn't want to mess that up by doubting God. So things come into our life, and sometimes we don't have a lot of information, and we don't know what's going to happen in the future, but we need to learn that God is in control. And that was the way it was with Mary. Mary's whole relationship with Jesus Christ was a relationship of surprise. When Gabriel made his startling announcement to Mary concerning the birth of Jesus, here is how Mary first responded. She said, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Mary had no preparation for this assignment. God surprised her with the message of his plan for her life. And when the shepherds told Mary and Joseph what the angel had said about Jesus and his birth, she became quietly pensive. We read in Luke 2, 18 and 19, and all those who heard marvel and those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary collected all this truth and deposited them within the deep recess of her heart. She did not discuss them with others. She just thought them through herself. And that's sometimes the best that we can do, right? I have times where I just by myself had to pray and ask God, God, what is that you want me to do in this situation? Why this is happening? Why this person told me this? You know, why a stranger did this for me? Sometimes, you know, God, there's certain situations in life that God impressed me to do it. I don't know why, you know. I don't know if you have that experience. Not too long ago, I was in the post office and I saw a person and I was talking to somebody else, but I saw this person and immediately my mind and my focus went on that person. Although I was talking to this person, but I felt like God told me to kind of observe what that person was doing. And I was looking and I saw that the person was trying to look for something in the garbage can and whatever. And do you need something? You need help? You know, I stopped talking to the other person. I said, if there's something that you need. And he said, oh, I lost my money order. I lost my money order. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, did you look in the parking lot? He said, I went home and the only thing I had was just the receipt of that he paid, but not the money order. And the other second part of the money order that you actually take with you in case you lost the money order. And I was like, okay. And, you know, in my mind was like, okay. You know, I tried to help him look, but we didn't find anything. But in my heart, I felt like I needed to do more, you know, but I was not sure what was more. And I asked, the next question that came in my mind was like, okay, so how much was the money order? And he said, $62.11. And I said, okay. And the next question that came out in my mind was like, so what was the money order for? And he's like, well, I needed to pay the light bill. And I was like, okay. And it was an older person. And he's like, oh, well, you know, it's okay, he said. But he was so sad, you know. And I don't know how much was $62 for him. For me at that time was a lot of money. But I was like, okay, what, God, what you want me to do next? And then, you know, I said, you know what? I ended up getting another money order for him and give it to him. And he was just so happy. You know, the funny thing about this is that I went to the post office 10 minutes or 15 minutes before, and I was going to go in, but then I forgot that I needed to go and buy something to put in one of the cars before I send it. So I'm like, oh, man, I forgot. I need to go to the supermarket really quick and get the gift card, you know, and then I came back, and then I found myself in that situation. So sometimes I'm like, wow, you know, maybe I forgot about the gift card so I can be there at the right time to help this person. And you put one and one together sometimes with the surprises that God brings to your life. Many collected all this truth and deposited them with the deep recesses of her heart. She did not discuss them with others. She just thought them through herself. Had you ever had a moment when Almighty God speaks to you or something happened that you can explain? It causes you to pause and ponder what God has said. Like Mary, we often find ourselves surprised in our walk with God. And like Mary, we do not have a blueprint for our life or for those of our children. But when we submit to the Lord by faith, we discover He always is there for us. He hears our prayers and He meets our needs. And the third thing we learn about Mary is that Mary teaches the submission of godliness and the surprise of it. But finally, we need to pause from the joy and gladness of Christmas and remember that Christmas is only meaningful in light of the fact that it is the beginning and not the end. Christmas by itself is a beautiful story and nothing more. But when you put Christmas together with Easter, when you realize that the cradle and the grave have a straight line drawn between them, then Christmas becomes more profound and more meaningful. Mary also teaches us the suffering of godliness. We move from the announcement of Jesus' birth to the agony of his death. There's no reason for the cradle if there isn't any cross. And so the transition from the birth of Jesus to his death is a normal and natural one. Jesus Christ was born to die. That's why he came to this earth. Want to show you this video?
You kiss the face of God.
Jesus made seven distinct statements from the cross in his dying hour before he gave up his spirit to the Father. And those seven statements are found in all the gospel. The first word from the cross is in Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. That is a prayer for God to forgive those who were crucifying Jesus Christ. The second word is Luke 23:43. Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." That's a word of forgiveness to the repentant thief who was hanging next to Jesus. The fourth word is Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? A word of resignation spoken to the Father in heaven. The fifth word is John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." The sixth word, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. John 19:30. And the seventh word is, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Now, if you watch carefully, you saw that I left the third one out. I left it out on purpose because in many respects, it doesn't seem to fit. Here it is. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. You may wonder why that is so surprising. In the last moment of his life, here on this earth, he turned his thoughts away from the events of the cross to concern for his mother. Around the cross that day were the onlookers and the bystanders. The critics of our Lord were there, those who had mocked him with their words. Some were here to say, "If you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross." The chief priests, the scribes, the elders of the Jews pointed their finger at him and shouted, "If you are the Christ, save yourself." And some of Jesus' friends were also there. John mentioned some who were present that day. If you merge the two lists, where the names are given, you will discover that Mary, Jesus' mother, and Mary, the wife of Clopas and Salome, and John's mother and Mary Magdalene, and John, his beloved disciple, were there. Isn't it interesting the three Marys were at the cross? Jesus then turned to John in one of the last moments of the cross and concerned himself with the well-being of Mary. And the scripture said that when they left the place of crucifixion, John took Mary to his own home. It has to be one of the most tender moments in all the New Testament record. Jesus' first three words from the cross were about others. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Today you will be with me in paradise. And John, that's my mother. You take care of her. The record concerning Mary and John is filled with insights about godliness, translated into our culture and into our very homes. As we think back through the life of Jesus and his mother, we identify with what they have experienced. In fact, in the Christmas story, there is a little prophecy that makes us look into crucifixion. Do you remember when Jesus was taken to the temple by his parents and presented to Anna and to Simeon? It's found in Luke 2:34-35. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts might be revealed. This word recorded by Luke were spoken by Simeon when Jesus, as an infant, was presented to Simeon and Anna in the temple. Now the Bible says that Simeon took Jesus in his arm and blessed God. And then Simeon turned to Mary and prophesied the words that we just read. And he told Mary that her child will be the cause of much sorrow and much pain in her life. He spoke of a sword piercing through her own soul. This prophecy was given 30 years before the crucifixion, but it was fulfilled as Mary watched her son being beaten and nailed to the cross. Mary knew more pain in her life than most of us will ever know. She knew about the godliness of suffering. The day Jesus was crucified, Mary experienced the fulfillment of Simeon's word and a sword pierced through the soul, her soul. James Stalker, a writer of New Testament truth, has written some wonderful books on the life of the Lord Jesus. Describing this moment in Mary's life, he wrote, there Jesus hung before her eyes, but she was helpless. His wounds bled, but she dared not to touch them. His mouth was parched, but she could not moisten it. The nails pierced her as well as him. The thorns round his brow were a circle of flame around her heart. I don't know how many times as a mother I felt helpless to see my son suffering, to see my son going through so many surgeries, to see even Jomar being sick or not being able to do anything about it. And I can't imagine Mary seeing her son being crucified. You know, as a mother, when you first see that baby and that face, it's just a beautiful baby. Doesn't matter if everybody else said, oh, what an ugly baby, right? For you, that baby is just so beautiful. And it's just, you fell in love with that baby. You know, I fell in love with my babies at the moment that the doctor said I was pregnant. I felt an instant love for my son. And as they were in my belly, that love just was just growing and growing and growing, every move, right? Even when you feel sick because you know they're alive, they're there, you know? And I can't imagine, you know, Mary now seeing Jesus, his son. It was her Messiah, but it was her son too. Jesus grew up just like our children grow up. Those memories of his early days no doubt played through her mind as they stood watching the awful, apparent ending to his life. That was all a part of Mary. She remembered those moments. The hands and feet she had held when he was an infant were now nailed to the cross. The disciples will leave him. His friends will forsake him. The nations will reject him. But his mother was there to the very end. In these two snapshots of Mary, his birth and his death, we are reminded that God wants us to learn from the people of the Bible. And from Mary, we learn the submission of godliness and the surprise of it, and then a lesson we will rather not learn, the suffering of it. That is part of life. We either embrace it and learn from it, or we spend our entire existence of this earth fighting against something which we can never overcome. Our Lord suffered, Mary suffered, and we will also experience the suffering that comes with living. We have much to learn from this godly woman. Here's the remarkable thing as it relates to Mary. Mary was the mother of Jesus, but she needed Jesus to be her Savior as much as every one of us. The Magnificat reveals with this truth, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." As fantastic as this is, the Savior who was born in the womb of Mary had to be born again in the heart of Mary. And the Savior whose birth we celebrate during the season is a Savior who must be born in our hearts as well. He comes into our hearts from the outside. And the question I have to ask you today is this: have you invited him to come into your heart and take up his residency within you? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and for your mercy. Thank you for your wonderful, unconditional love to each one of us. Thank you for the precious gift of Jesus, not only his birth, God, but his death and his resurrection and his second coming. Thank you because through him we have hope and we can receive joy and peace and love in our hearts in a world that doesn't provide that. Thank you for God looking at us, you know, as your creature, and sometimes we don't deserve what you call us for, but you still call us. I don't know what is everybody's mission and what you have called them for. But I hope, God, we can take that call and answer as Mary. You know, be there, be willing, even if we don't understand, even if we don't know what the future is, God, that we are willing to accept that call that you have for us today. Is it helping someone? Is it preaching? Is it going to a different country? Whatever it is, God, just help us to accept each call every day from you. God, as we celebrate Christmas around this time and we talk about Jesus, God, let us share also that hope and that love and that compassion with people around us. That the celebration just don't go only on gifts and eating, but also of thinking of those who are in need and those who are in need of you. Forgive our sins and help us to enjoy the rest of the Sabbath and the rest of the week. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. And we can stand up.